The book of the Revelation, chapter number 4, the book of the Revelation, chapter number 4. We're going to look at a couple of verses here this morning. And again, thank you for being in the house of the Lord, and thank for those, for all those who listen and watch. Thank you for being a part of the service here at Anchor. For context, I'm going to I'll read the following verse, but I'm interested in verse number 8 of the book of the Revelation, chapter number 4. Now, the first three chapters, of course, the first chapter, we get an introduction to the Lord Jesus, of course, is the resurrected Savior. And John starts seeing some things, and then in chapter number 1, In verse number 10, he says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." And then we see the letters to the seven churches in chapter number 2 and chapter number 3. Chapter number 4 says, "And I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven." And so now the scene has changed. We're standing in heaven. We're getting a preview. We're getting a glimpse of what goes on there in the third heaven in the presence of Holy God. I'm interested particularly this morning at a phrase, not even a whole verse, but just a phrase. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter number 4, and in verse number 8, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying," here's the phrase, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Now for context, look in verse 9. "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever." And so this morning I'd like to preach for a few minutes on holy, holy, holy. Help us, Lord. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, I have no strength in myself. And Lord, I'm asking for divine strength and power from up on high. I pray, Lord, you'd touch my voice, you'd touch my mind, help me to recall the things and beyond. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to deliver, thus saith the Lord, in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, and please be seated. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I'd like to begin by examining this phrase, the beginning of this, in repetition, the word holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want you to understand that God has many attributes. The Bible says God is love. Well, that's an attribute. It's an attribute of God. God is merciful. God is gracious. God is kind. Those are attributes of God. But if you want to know what the essence of God is, the very essence of what God is and who God is, if you had to sum it up with the human tongue, you would say what the seraphim said: He's holy. He's holy God the Father, he's holy God the Son, and he's holy God the Holy Ghost. He's thrice holy. There's not three holies. There's one holy, but he's thrice holy. Thrice holy. Holy, holy, holy. Oftentimes in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus would say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." The word "verily" is the idea where we get the word truth, veritas. It's the idea, and so he would say, "Truthfully, truthfully." Well, when you emphasize a word twice in the language, the original language is our scripture, you are basically, when you say something twice, you're adding ER to the end of it. So if you wanted to say that God is holier, you just repeat the word twice, holy, holy. And that gives you that idea. But more so, but I'm just giving you so that we can break it down where we can understand it. He's holier. But it's exponential. But when God repeats himself, and by the way, God don't have to repeat himself. But on the rare occasions that God does repeat himself, we need to look and see why. And when God repeats himself not once, twice, but the third time, that exponential, when he says it three times, that's like saying EST on the end of a word. That's like saying holiest. It don't get no holier than that. Okay? And so, somebody says, that's a double negative. Yeah, but it's good preaching. Holy, holy, holy. And so, I want you to understand that these created beings, these winged beings, that are in the presence of God, they're crying, holy, holy, holy. And they are exalting the very eternal purity of God. That's their job. That's what they're to do. Now, in your Bible, it's not often we get to do this, but John the Revelator, he is peering into heaven, and he's seeing what's going on roughly around the year 90 AD, right in that time frame, latter part of the first century, that he gets a glimpse into heaven, and he finds out that there are these winged creatures called seraphims, and they are crying, holy, holy, holy. Well, some 800 years prior to that, God had opened the eyes of Isaiah in the king that Uzziah died. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. The Bible said, and the temple was filled with smoke, and his train filled the temple. And he saw some things there in the book of the Isaiah, chapter number 6. He tells about a throne. He tells about one seated on it. And in verse number 2 of Isaiah 6, he says, and above it stood the seraphims. Well, he gives us a little bit more description. Here they are again. 800 years prior, we find them again. And the Bible says each of them had 6 wings. Now we think about angels having 2 wings. Well, these angels apparently had wings up high and wings in the middle and maybe wings down low. I don't know exactly how they were arrayed, but it seems to make sense. But there were 6 of them, according to the scripture. And the Bible says with twain, 2 wings, he covered his face. That covering of the face was an act of reverence. It was an act of holy. It was an act of reverence because of the holiness that he was looking upon. He covered his face. Now this is a perfect created being that was created for the purpose of glorifying God. And what is he doing? He's hiding his face in the presence of the Holy, Holy, Holy One. And the scripture says, and with twain he covered his feet. Now that's also very interesting. So in my imagination, the top set of wings covered his eyes. And in my imagination, the bottom set of wings, maybe lower on his back, covered his feet. What's that about, preacher? Well, again, that's about humility. And it's about reverence, you know. And so covered his feet. Some of the team or somebody was coming over, and I was walking around the house barefoot. She said, at least get you some socks on. And I said, why? She said, well, you don't want to show your feet. She said, put you some socks on. Well, I'm proud of my feet. I don't think there's anything wrong with my feet. Bible says I got beautiful feet. That's what it says. I've got calluses and ingrown toenails and got that old fungus that makes your toenails so thick you got to cut it with pink, you know, cut it with a side cutter, you know, and all. I mean, you know, Bible says they're beautiful feet. She said, get you some socks on. So I now know my wife's embarrassed of my feet. Well, that seraphim was embarrassed of his feet, and he's a holy angel. He covered his feet, covered his face, covered his feet. And it's already alliterated. And the Bible says in twain we did fly. Face, feet, and flying. That's what those six wings did. Well, my takeaway from that is that of all six wings, he spent two-thirds of his resources worshiping and one-third of his resource working. How backwards do we have that? We spend most of our time working and very little of our time worshiping. But that angel had it right. He was serving God with two flying, but he was worshiping God with the other four. And so he tells us about that in verse 2 of Isaiah 6, 800 years before Revelation 4. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." For 800 years, can I say it this way? They haven't changed their tune. But the Tadlock, I know a lot of preachers that have changed their tune. I know a lot of preachers that things were wrong when other people's kids were growing up, and they preached hell hot and heaven sweet and hung them youngins out over it. But when their kids got grown, it suddenly they changed their tune. It ain't sin no more. It's just poor choices. Everybody else's youngins is doing it. Oh, it's wicked. But now that their youngins is doing it, it's just poor, making poor choices. That's a cop-out. It's sinful choices. And so a lot of people have changed their tune, but I find out that in the third heaven, that for 800 years, these angels didn't change their tune. Somebody said, well, why didn't they? How come they ain't said nothing else? Because they ain't finished saying what they got to say. By the way, they never will get finished with it. Ever since the moment they were created, they started crying holy. And throughout eternity future, they will cry holy. And they'll never get it told how holy God is. They'll cry day and night about the eternal purity. And they'll proclaim that, the eternal purity that they proclaim. Holy, holy, holy. But they'll never get it told. Now let me say this. If the angels in perfect purity will never get it told, and they don't have to sleep, and they don't have to eat, they just cry holy all the time. If that's the case, reckon how far behind we are in calling him holy. Reckon how far behind we are in bragging on him if the angels can't get it told in eternity. So there's the eternal purity in this proclamation, in this that they proclaim, holy, holy, holy. But then notice what takes place. They say holy, 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 and then they use three words, Lord God Almighty. Lord God Almighty. Well, I began to think about this, and as I looked at each one of these words, it's interesting that each one of the words that are used here, and when you go back and study these words, every one of these words is connected to power. They all go back. If you go to digging and you go to researching, they all go back to power. If we were to use the term curator, or we had a curated museum, a curated art display. That means that it's been picked, that it's been chosen, that someone took the authority and said, this comes in and this doesn't. This comes in and this doesn't. That root word that is used, kurios, that word means authority. And it means more than just this plain authority. It means absolute authority or authority, I've said it this way, authority to have that power. In other words, not just power. Let me see if I can explain what I'm talking about. I mean, I was telling my wife yesterday. I said, I don't know what they've done, but they ain't mowed the grass. We've been going back and forth, and I said, what's happened to the grass? I mean, I've thought about taking my goats up on 64 between Pisgah Forest and Brevard, let my goats eat the middle road out. That or take a hay baling equipment and bale the middle of the road. I don't know what's happened. They spent all the money on the roundabout and ain't not got no money to mow it now. I reckon the only thing I can figure. Ain't mowed a lick. Ain't mowed a lick. They've mowed side roads. They've cut stuff they ought not to cut, but they ain't mowed up through there. Now, I don't know whose job that is. I don't know if that's city. I don't know if it's county. I don't know if it's state. But I don't have the power to call somebody up and say, you get that mowed. That looks trashy. Get that mowed. Now you fix that. And they'd say, and who are you? I don't have that kind of authority. See what I'm saying? I'm not the person in charge of that. But if you could get in touch, hey, there is a person. I don't know who it is. There is an agency, but I don't know where they are. Somebody's in charge of that. And whether it's been oversight or whether it's just been a lack of a budget, or I don't know why. But the median looks the worst that's looked in a very long time. And I've commented to my wife, I said, I'm thinking about bringing my zero turn up here and mow it. It's terrible. Somebody wouldn't run over me. I'd mow that grass. It looks terrible up through there. And somebody said, well, you can't mow the median. Well, I got up a little further, and the Chinese restaurant, they've been mowing the median. It looks good in front of the Chinese restaurant, but boy, the rest of it looks rough. Yeah. If you lived in Switzerland, you're required to keep up everything to the middle of the road if it's on your property. You have to mow the road bank. You have to keep it clean. You got to keep everything. You're responsible. And so they don't have to do that side of the thing, maintenance. Everybody keeps up their part. There is somebody in charge of that. I don't know who it is. I don't have the authority to say it, but somebody does. Can I say there is that authoritative power, the word Lord. The Lord, the Lord. That's that authoritative power. But then the Bible says the Lord God. And not often do you see those two words together in the New Testament. It's not uncommon in the Old Testament, but it's not quite as common in the New Testament. And they are different. We're talking about the same Holy One. But the word Lord goes with it the idea of authority and authoritative power. But the word God is found in your Bible in the very opening verse. In the beginning, God. And the word there, and we've used it so much and used the Hebrew word in English that I don't have any hesitation to repeat it. The word is Elohim. And Elohim is a plural of the Hebrew word Eloah. And I don't think I'm saying it exactly right. But that's the idea, Eloah. And Eloah in Hebrew would be Allah in Arabic. Same word, same thought. And so in the Christian churches in the Arab world, they pray to Allah. They're not praying to the Muslim God, but they're praying to God. They're praying to the God of heaven. It's the Arabic form of Eloah. And so occasionally in your Bible, matter of fact, in the Old Testament, we see the shortened form a lot, the term Eli. What did the Lord Jesus cry in Psalm 22? What did he cry on the cross? Eli, Eli. And what does that mean? My God, my God. Elijah, Elisha. You see the compound words. The phrase El Shaddai. Which means power, El Shaddai. Anytime you see EL, it always has the idea and goes back to the name of God, all the way back to creation. And it has the idea of strength, and it has the idea of the power of effect. Not just power, but power of effect. We know that in the beginning, Eli, or Elohim, and it's the plural form, 1, 2, 3 in Hebrew. Elohim is plural. There is a dual form of Hebrew, but there's also a plural form. Elohim is plural. There are those today that deny the Trinity. But I want you to understand the Trinity is found in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. In the beginning. As a matter of fact, read on in the narrative of Genesis 1. He said, let us make man in our image. Well, who's he talking to? So, well, he's talking to the angels. He ain't created them yet. See what I'm saying? I mean, he's talking to himself. It's the Godhead. He's talking to himself. But I want you to leave with this thought that the phrase God here is the idea of God the Creator, the God who spoke. The term is fiat. He spoke it into existence. And God just spoke it. He didn't have to do anything. He just spoke it. And for 5 days, he spoke things into existence. But then when it come to man, he didn't speak man into existence. See, man was a hands-on project. And the Bible says he took his own hands and he formed man out of the dust of the ground. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the Bible says man became a living soul, body, spirit, and soul. That's the trichotomy of man in the image of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, the trichotomy of God. And so, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that the word God here has with it the idea of accomplishing power. Not just static power, but accomplishing power. You understand the difference? Just accomplishing power. There's a lot of power, but if you can't harness that power and put that power to, you can't get a hold of it and you can't get it to do something, then what good is it? It's like an engine on a test stand. I mean, it may produce all this horsepower and all this torque and all these other things, but it ain't much good to you on the test stand, is it? You got to put it in the airplane or put it in the truck or put it wherever it is it's going and get it to the ground, get the horsepower to the wheels, get the power to the propeller. You got to make it do something. You got to get it to accomplish something. Well, that's the idea behind the phrase, not only Lord, that authoritative power, but the word God, that accomplishing power. But then there's one other word. The scripture says, Lord God Almighty, Almighty. And it's easy to define that, Almighty. In other words, all power or all might. As a matter of fact, the phrase that is used, it is translated Almighty. Almost every time the phrase that's used is translated Almighty, with one exception. I found it in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 9 and verse number 6. Same word, but it's translated different. And this is what the writer of the Revelation said. We're in Revelation 4, 8, over in Revelation 9, 6. It says, I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. There's that word Almighty. Omnipotent. What does that mean, preacher? That means all power. I'm going to step stage right and I'm going to show you something. This is what we call an omni microphone. The boys use it to play around when they pick. Now, the microphone that I've got on, it's got a little bit of omni characteristic, but now this one right here on the pulpit, you've got to get right in it. It's a directional mic. This one's a little more omni, but this one here, you don't have to walk up to it and talk down into it like that. Matter of fact, that's not what it's designed for. It's designed to stand right. It picks up all the way around. It's omni. It picks up coming and going. It picks up top, bottom, sideways. And if you ever watch bluegrass groups that pick around one of these things, they'll lean in and pick, and then they'll lean back out. If it's their time, they'll lean in, sing, lean back out, and they have to avoid. So they're doing basically what a bunch of microphones would do. They're doing it themselves by using an omni microphone. And you can see they looked old-timey. You can see how it looks. But that's what that is. That's an omnidirectional microphone. And it means it picks up sound in every direction. Well, can I say something about the omnipotence of God? Hey, He's powerful in every direction. You can't go nowhere He ain't. He's powerful in every direction. From the most subtle thing that you can think of. I'm talking about the most subtle thing that you could possibly imagine. He's there. He's that. He has the power. You know, sometimes we think about power. I like mechanical stuff. Most guys do. I watched this on YouTube or somewhere. They've got a track hoe. I've never seen such a track hoe as this. I'm talking about a track hoe. This is one of them ones you got to assemble on site. And this track hoe is so big, it's set next to the bow of a ship. So the ship's in the water. They've got it in this little canal thing, this little slip. And this track hoe, instead of having a bucket on it, has got a claw. Looks like a crab pincher. And they put it in fast forward, and they would take this old retired ship and they were going to recycle it. And that thing reached in there and it bit 2-inch solid steel plate in two and just bit it off. And that thing would reach and get it and set it off. And it'd pull that ship to it. And it kept doing that, and it eat that ship. It bit that ship in little bitty pieces. I'm talking about pipes, everything, steel plate. It didn't matter. That big old thing was just chomp, 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 and it was a biting through that thick of steel, through the bulkheads, through every part of that ship. They put it on trucks and hauled it off. And before it was over, it ate up that whole ship. And I thought to myself, how much pressure must there be to be able to bite through the bow of an ocean-going ship? Now, how much pressure does that take? That's power right there. I want you to also understand. My surgeon, when he worked on my neck, he worked on my back, he said, now, preacher, he said, I want you to understand that I'm not looking at you when I'm working on you. Now, I said, well, that's not comforting. He said, oh, no, 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 no. He said, you understand? He said, I've got a 3D image of you on a screen in front of me. And he said, because what brought it on, I said, why? I know what the hole on the left side is. That was for the cages. And I know what all the holes in my back was. That's for the rods. I got that. And the screws. I said, but this one on my right side's killing me. Doctor, what did you do? He said, that's where we put the CAT scan machine. I said, you put a machine inside me? He said, sure did. I said, I thought so. It feels like you left it. He said, I put a probe inside of you. I said, I stood there in a lead vest. He said, I had a giant screen in front of me that was giving me 3D imaging. And he said, I worked on you looking at that screen. And he said, I could see every nerve. I could see every capillary. I could see every aspect. And he said, I had to get within just centimeters, just tiny, tiny millimeters, just tiny, tiny. He said, if I'd made the wrong move, you could have been forever paralyzed. And I thought about the power that it takes. Now you think about this. He's using robotics. He's got his fingers in this thing. He's using robotics. He's not even working on me. The robot's working on me. He's working the robot. Because what he's doing is so fine that the human hands can't do it. And he's got this computer and this robot that's doing my back surgery. He's got his hands in it. He's doing all the manipulations. He's watching this 3D screen. Thank God he didn't sneeze. Thank God he didn't have a hiccups. I could have walked with a limp for the rest of my life. What kind of power did it take to move his finger enough to make that thing do what it had to do, but just enough not to nick that nerve. You understand the power that took? Well, do you understand that the God of heaven's got that kind of power? Both micro power and macro power. On a big level and on a small level. I want you to understand he's powerful. And he has absolute power. I thought I wasn't going to preach long this morning. I didn't feel like I could go very long. And now I'm looking at the clock and I'm doing a little better than I thought I was. Some of y'all are doing a little better than you wanted me to. So I want you to look at the latter part of verse number 8, and I'll quit. Verse number 8, we're not reading the whole verse, we're just reading the phrase. Holy, 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 that's the eternal purity that these creatures proclaim. And then the Bible says, Lord God Almighty, that's the eternal power that they publish. But then I want you to look at the eternal person that they praise. The Bible says, which was? Can I simply say it this way? He is the holy God of the past, which was. And then the Bible says, and is. He is the holy God of the present. Do you remember what God told Moses at the burning bush? He said, go. And he said, well, who shall I say sent me? He said, you tell them that I am sent you. What does that mean, I am? It means the holy God of the eternal present. He knows no yesterday, and he'll never know a tomorrow because he knows it all and has declared the end from the beginning. And so he's the holy God of the past, which was. He's the holy God of the present, and is. And by the way, that's where our word, and we don't use the word here, but we use the definition of the word Jehovah. And if you're in your Bible, it was spelled capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That would have been the word Jehovah transliterated into English. And we believe the word Jehovah means I am, I was, and I will be. And while he doesn't use the word, he uses the concept, the holy God of the past, which was. The holy God of the present, and is, and the holy God of potential, the Bible says, and is to come. And is to come. Now let me tell you sometimes what I get to thinking. Sometimes I get to thinking, I'm praying God lets me live as long as he wants me to. But I'm not in my 20s anymore. I know that. And especially when you feel bad and when you're sick, the devil will jump up on your shoulder and say, yep, your best days are behind you. And if you're not careful, that'll carry over. And you'll start saying, well, if my best days are behind me, well, you know, this one's going out, and this one's sent out, and this one got married, and boy, the best days are behind the church, and the best days are behind the ministry, and the best days are behind this or that or here or yon. I mean, the devil will tell you that. And then the Lord reminds me, was it your strength that built this thing? No, sir. Has it been your strength that has maintained this thing? No, sir. Well, what makes you think I need your strength to continue it? Sam Allen said, if you get to thinking too highly of yourself, he said, run you a bucket of cold water. He said, then take your hand and stick it down in there and hold it just a second. And he said, jerk it out right fast. And he said, the size hole that it leaves, that's how important you are. The water must be thicker in Georgia because I've tried and tried and tried to do that and I can't get mine to leave much of a hole at all. It just don't leave no hole. So, just don't leave no hole. It just don't. I mean, every time I jerk my hand, it just goes right back together. That's what he said. He said, that's how important you are. When you put your hand in the water, jerk it out right fast. Size hole it leaves, that's how important you are. Well, I want to say, it ain't relying upon us, but it's all relying upon him, the God of yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says that those angels, those four beasts, those created beings, each of them had six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And the Bible says then those 24 elders fall down. And here we go again. And it's one big worship service in the presence of our God. I want to say this morning, he's worthy. He's holy. He's not just holy. He's holy, holy, holy. He's God. He's not just God. He's Lord God Almighty. And he's the God of the past, but he's not just the God of the past. He's the God of the past, the present, and the future. And I want to say happy day. He's still on the throne this morning. Let's bow our heads together.